Let's pray. Lord Jesus, would you take these words and soften our hearts for the sake of your gospel and glory in this place, we pray. Amen. We're now in the second week of our current preaching series, Who on Earth Are We? And this week we consider what it is to be worshippers. I'm sure some of you are dog owners. We've had dogs in the past, and one of my favourite memories of both of our Labradors was when one of us would be in the kitchen preparing meat or any kind of food, but especially meat. And right behind us, rooted to the spot, as it were, was the dog, looking intently at our every move, salivating at the prospect of any tidbits that might drop onto the floor, but totally focused on what was happening. We had the dog's undivided attention, giving the situation at hand his all. I wonder whether this may begin to describe something about the nature of worship. Maybe you find it an unhelpful image. We may be led to worship at the sight of a beautiful sunset, or of a newborn baby, or the barrenness of winter turning to fresh new life in spring. Worship may leave us utterly awestruck, a sense of wow, something otherworldly that brings us ever closer into God's presence. John Pritchard, a former Bishop of Oxford, describes worship like this: offering all that we are to all that God has revealed himself to be. As worshippers, we come into the presence of God, totally focused on him, and open to all that he has to give us. We open our hearts and our minds. What an awesome thing it is to worship. Whether at a large Christian festival with the rock band, the lighting and the thousands of fellow worshippers, or in the cathedral setting with the beauty and majesty and awe and reverence of the building, or in the parish church setting, or in a more intimate place, perhaps at home, alone, maybe listening to some quiet music. We come to worship. We come to praise God, but also, and perhaps less commonly, we may come to worship in lament. We've heard two readings, both which describe worship. Psalm 84 engages us in that deep sense of longing to be in the courts of the Lord. Mary's song of praise, also known as the Magnificat, tells of a deep encounter with God. Two very different worship experiences, both focused on meeting with God, drawn into a holy place. At the heart of worship is God. And we worship for God and God alone. For Mary in her song of praise, it was all about God. My soul glorifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God, my Saviour. Throughout this song of praise, Mary is giving God the glory and praising him for who he is. There have been some pretty big events in Mary's life thus far. She was a young, ordinary teenage girl, visited by an angel who foretold of some incredible events that were to happen. Mary, chosen by God to conceive and give birth to his son. Magnificat is something of an outpouring of praise for all that God has done and will do. As Mary did, we also should worship God alone. Worship should never be about us. It's not about me. It's not about you. Sadly, though, in churches and in our Christian communities, we are in danger sometimes of making it more about us. Whether our particular preferences or styles, or what gives us that spiritual high, whether in large Christian festivals, in the cathedral, or even at home. Worship should be for and about God. There was a true story of a church in Watford, my hometown, some years ago, who were going through a tough time. The pastor of the church asked his congregation what they were bringing to God in worship, or if they were just there as consumers, soaking it all up, absorbing it. It seemed that somehow the musicians had lost their way. so they unplugged, literally. And initially, there was an embarrassing silence. And then gradually, over time, the congregation found their voices, and they discovered through this a new and fresh perspective, being all about Jesus, with a response that came from the heart. And out of this time emerged the song, "When the Music Fades, All is Stripped Away. I'm coming back to the heart of worship. And it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus." You don't need me to tell you that we're currently living in difficult and challenging times, with worship seemingly limited. Perhaps you, like me, are lamenting the fact that we can't sing. Perhaps you're lamenting that we have to book our place in church. Perhaps you're lamenting that it's not the same anymore, with the uncertainty of when things may change for the better. Perhaps, though, this stripping back could be an opportunity for growth and new life. Perhaps through this barren time, we might draw ever closer to God in worship. Whatever it looks like, in the good times and in the times of lament, in whatever style or context, let's aim to make worship for God and for Him alone. Psalm 84 describes a longing to be in the house of the Lord. At that time, whilst people living in Jerusalem could go to the temple every day, for the Israelites, a temple visit may only be once a year. "My soul yearns, even faints, for the courts of the Lord." Passionate language and a deep desire from the heart, longing to engage in worship with the true and living God. I wonder, when we come to church, whether we expect anything to happen. Do we think God might turn up? Or has our worship perhaps become routine and a bit familiar? Do we have that longing that the psalmist described? We're only 2 weeks into the reopening of our buildings for public worship, and I've already heard people saying, just like the psalmist said, how glad they are to be back in church, which has been very encouraging, really glad to hear it. And of course, we have missed gathering together. We've missed the fellowship of our brothers and sisters, and rightly so. We've missed the cup of coffee and tea and the biscuits and the being together. Perhaps we're experiencing something of that longing. What an opportunity, perhaps, to take a fresh look at how we do things. The passion with which the psalmist expresses this desire to engage with God in worship, to the point that he'd gladly be a mere doorkeeper in God's house, just stresses the weight and importance placed on worship. As we come to worship, what we bring should be authentic, genuine, real, not false, not putting on a front, not putting on our Sunday best to just keep up appearances. Very conscious with wearing masks at the moment, it's very hard to see people smiling and the gestures, but we can smile with our eyes. We may come to worship full of the joys of spring, or we may come at the end of our tether, the end of our rope, or even lamenting a particular situation that we've been through. We read last week in 1 Samuel that God is not concerned with outward appearances, whether or not we look or sound the part. God is far more concerned with our hearts, our inner lives, what's really going on, what's making us tick. And from this inner life will genuine, authentic and heartfelt worship flow. And through this amazing worship encounter with God, we will be changed. As well as worship in the church, we worship in and for the community. What we do on a Sunday is perhaps a more concentrated version of what might take place during the week, Monday to Saturday. Maybe even on Sunday we get that foretaste of heaven as we worship. I hope and pray so. But then we take this out with us. Worship flows out into our communities, at work, at school, at home, wherever we are. John Pritchard again says, "Worship is not what we do on a Sunday at 10:30. It's how we live before God all week. Or put another way, we are whole life worshippers. Surely worship cannot and shouldn't be restricted to a time and a place. I love hearing of how God has moved in people's lives and of the way everyday Christians are living their faith through the week, often unseen and unsung. And yet God is doing the most amazing things. I've already heard of some of these things happening right here, which is so exciting. I'm sure this begins to happen as we bring that outflow of worship into our communities. This is what gives godly worship integrity and meaning. Far more than simply singing familiar hymns and songs, sharing liturgy, or whatever other pattern of worship we're familiar with. Worship is life-changing, not only for us as we're made different and renewed from that encounter, but also for those around us as we take worship into our daily lives. So often, worship can be confused with singing, which is part of worship, but true worship is so much more. In worship, know that we're giving God his worth. We give him the glory with all that we are. We worship God in spirit and truth, and I want to send you from here with the encouragement that we are worshippers. We get to meet and engage with the true and living God, and not just on Sunday mornings. We can do it 24/7, all week. And God longs to meet with his people as they're drawn into his presence in this amazing worship. How awesome is that? This week, perhaps seek to be more attentive to the awesome God around us, to Jesus through the Spirit, and be open to this encounter as we engage more fully with him. We sing at Christmas time, O come, all ye faithful, and the refrain from that carol perhaps may help to draw us into worship. I'll just read it to you now. O come, let us adore him. O come, let us adore him. O come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. Amen. Let's pray. Holy God, strengthen and help us as we worship and adore you, and take us into those holy places that we may glimpse your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.